We leave with this beautiful performance of the mothers of the house of Moses representing. Hello, my name is Ari.
And my name is Dante, and this is Pen Pop. How are we doing today?
As you haven't asked me that three times already. Today's song is by two artists, both the voice and the shade of our generation to come.
Let's get into When You Believe by Mariah Carey and Whitney Houston. There can be miracles when you believe. When you believe. Oh, hope is
great. It's hard to give. What miracles you can achieve, when you believe. Released on November 2nd of 1998 by Mariah and Whitney, the song was a pop ballad version of the DreamWorks soundtrack song and lead single for the film The Prince of Egypt. The song was produced by Kenneth Edmonds, aka Babyface, my man. Written by Stephen Schwartz, it also cross-promoted as the lead single for Whitney's album My Love Is Your Love and Mariah's compilation album Number One.
The animated musical drama directed by Brenda Chapman, Steve Hickner, and Simon Wells is an adaptation of the Book of Exodus, following the life of Moses becoming a chosen prophet of the Lord. Let's believe in the lyrics first. Hello. See what I did there?
I'm in my pen.
It's time to get your pens out.
That's right. Let's get into the lyrics and our first thoughts on When You Believe. Ari?
It was a brisk morning in the bus stop when Dante said to me, let's harmonize the song. And I said, what song? And he said, When You Believe. And I said, I don't know that song. And he said, Whitney and Mariah Carey. And I said, I don't know her.
I don't know. Die kenne ich nicht.
Oh, I knew them, but I didn't know them together. So he said, I used to watch it all the time as a kid, and he will get into it. Let me tell you, he definitely will get into it. But, and then he was like, let's harmonize it because we're trying to harmonize and we're horrible at it. And then he was like, you should learn it, and I should learn it so that we can both sing it one time. And I went home. I listened to it 30,000 times back to back. I learned every word, every inch, every musical note. I was there. He did it on the other end. And the next time we came together, we did not do well. And he barely could keep a pitch, and so could I. So that's when my story came in. Now,
it's a work in progress still.
Exactly. I learned the song, but I never watched the movie until literally 3 months ago. So this is moral of the story. One thing about me, I don't know shit about shit, but I might know a song that doesn't relate to the movie.
First one thing about Ari, you tell him to watch a movie, give yourself a buffer of 2 to 3 years. Actually, the Prince of Egypt, you watched right away. When I told you. But there's a documentary on Studio 54 on Netflix. Shout out to Studio 54, my social media agency. Come on now, promo. I literally asked him to watch the Studio 54 documentary, and he didn't watch it for 1 year. He didn't watch it for another year. It went off Netflix. Another year passed. It just came back on Netflix, and he finally watched it.
Exactly. It had to leave for me to realize how good it was and then come back, and then actually watch it. And it was great. I loved it.
Anyways, back to When You Believe. So my grandmother, you get what you get, we like to say. She had the VHS of The Prince of Egypt. And every time I went to my grandma's house, I didn't really realize that it was Mariah Whitney singing the song until later when I got into Mariah and Whitney in their own respective ways. So I also did a presentation on the song in grade 11 in religion class. And I remember saying the voice and the shade like really quickly because they talk really fast during presentations. And my teacher was like, what? And I'm like, if you get it, you get it. If you don't, you don't. What can I say? Keep up. So going to high school... And also, I remember when we both went to high school, we went to a tour at the high school in grade 8 mm-hmm. for an orientation, and the choir absolutely butchered the song, and I was extremely offended that they would choose that song.
Exactly. And now, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, let's get into this lyrics, okay? Because mm-hmm. one thing about this lyrics, and the truth, is that when I heard this, I was like, wow. It's just, wow. And then when I watched the movie, it made even more of a wow because I'm like, how could I be missing on so much? Come on, Voltairean commercial. And the thing I loved about the song, it was that it made so much sense to the movie. And again, mm-hmm. it's one of those songs that is used intertwined throughout the whole movie. And it's the heartbeat of the movie. Yes. But let's get into this. Okay, let's go.
We start with the orchestra. Mm-hmm. You want to read it? Or you want me to read it? You read it, because I make Ari do Whitney's part.
I'm Whitney when we're singing his Mariah. Many
nights. Celine in the back.
Oh fuck. Okay. Wait, Celine girl, your time is gone. But basically, many nights we pray, and those of you who are spiritual individuals know that when you pray at night, sometimes there's nobody listening. You feel like nobody's listening. Mm-hmm. Or at least we have no proof of it. We think that people are not exactly. Preach it, Father. That people think that, you know, nothing is there talking to you. In our hearts, there's a hopeful song. There's a story that we want to tell. There's a fear, a trauma, a tribulation. And we think, is anyone going to help us? Was this all in vain? Was this just a waste of time? And that's what Whitney's saying here. For the movie, we follow Moses down the Nile, who meets with Aphrodite, and she picks him up from the water. And what's the other? what's the brother's name?
Ramses,
who's a pharaoh. I know that part. Who becomes the next pharaoh? And their brother and sister, their brothers, that not actually from the same mother. So there's a trauma there that he doesn't know yet that he's from another mother. So we'll talk about mm-hmm. it later as the story goes on. And beautifully, these two women narrated very well with who's the writer again?
Stephen Schwartz. Schwartz.
Stephen Schwartz, that's a beautiful story writing this. And yeah.
Wow. What an enthralling Bible interpretation. Exactly.
I read the Bible never, but I think I got it.
Yeah, I think personally there's been many times where I have been like, why am I in my flop era? What did I do to deserve this? Yeah. And I get down on the side of my bed right here and I bury my head in my sheets and scream of anger. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, let's pull it together. And I genuflect. Exactly. And I reflect and I pray. And many nights I pray. And do I see those results?
No,
absolutely
but
not.
But there's somebody listening.
But that's okay.
There's someone listening.
I keep going.
Exactly. And let's just say here. Our hearts, it's a hopeful song. There's that feeling that one day it's going to be answered. And I know it will be. Next, she says, we barely understood. Now we are not afraid. Although we know there's much to fear. Whitney, you got to run there, baby, because I'm afraid all the time. And I don't know. If I want to get it, you're right. Because like you fear that you're not going to get it.
Yes, but also I think it's the fear of God, you know, and you barely understanding the higher power. You know, there's different religions, there's different interpretations, and you know, if you're growing up in Roman Catholic school, we were taught to fear God. And
sorry, I can understand. That's the worst thing you can do for a child. No shade.
That's what I think. That's what Lily was just going to say. I don't think you should fear God. You should. Well, they mean like don't like take him for granted. Yeah. Don't worship other things. You need to fear have faith is really the right way
to
say
it. But don't you think, like, for us, like, we grew up in the Catholic school, like, don't you feel like it's kind of driven you away from God too? Because
yes, because there's this person I need to fear. How is this person, why do I need to fear the person that's going to help me? The person that's supposed to be on my side.
Like, it's just not serving the right message. And I think that's why the church fails at doing its thing, because it's not even the church, like, just us. The what's the word? Yeah, I guess the church is the people. But like the people who preach it, like the priests and stuff like that. The ministry, thank you. Mm-hmm. The ministry has failed to, make us think that we're supposed to be fearing God. But why? Why don't we need to fear, like you said, that person who's supposed to help us? Mm-hmm. Although we know there's much to fear, which Whitney says, we were moving mountains long before we knew we could.
Exactly. You're praying and you're not seeing results, and you're doing things and you're getting up after you fall. Time and time and time. Trust me, whenever I post one of these episodes, it's like we fall and we get back up and we're still here. And every time I post on Instagram and every time I post on TikTok and every time I post on YouTube, I feel like, you know, I barely understand as well. And I'm not afraid, but I am afraid of those numbers, those views. But I keep going.
Exactly.
And I know the impact that I actually don't know. I don't know the impact that I'm making on one single person, but I know that I am making an impact.
Like you said, like she said, we were moving mountains long before we could. What do you mean knew before we could? Long before we knew we could.
Because I'm saying, when you take action, when action meets opportunity, you know, you don't know when the opportunity is going to come. You don't know all the progress you've made for somebody until you see it. So you're moving mountains, even though in your eyes, you don't see it that way. Because at the end of the day, we are our worst critic. We don't understand the impact that we're making someone's life. We don't understand how far we come. And that's why we need those reminders. And that's why we need reflection.
But back to what she's saying,
amen.
Like, with no proof, anyone could hear like that saying, like, we were moving mountains, we were doing things, we just didn't know, we didn't see them. But that minimizes mm-hmm. your work and minimizes your, and relating it back to the movie, I guess Moses felt like he was betrayed, but honestly, he just moved the whole, yes. like the fact that the, what was it? What were they called?
It was an epiphany. I mean, it yeah. was when he realized that his family was not his family and what he exactly. knows is not.
Like, and then to have this trajectory that he had, you know?
It was a blessing exactly. in disguise because...
And he didn't believe many mountains. Times that he could do it. And that's why he prayed and mm-hmm. literally... Jesus and not Jesus.
What is happening on your end?
What I was trying to say is that his trajectory, with he didn't believe that he could do it. And then God telling him that, you know, throwing through the bush or whatever, all that, he still was fearful. He didn't know he was going to do it. Mm-hmm. But then bringing that change after shows that although you felt that you couldn't do it, you did it. You can do it. And in your eyes, it may be simple, but in God's eye, it's big. And then goes she. That's when she says, there can be miracles when you believe. Though hope is frail, it's hard to kill. Whenever you believe something is true.
Exactly. If you believe it, you can do it. If you can dream it, you can do it. What Disney exactly. said. Come on now.
And the miracle, I think, is more just understanding, like, you. There's no need for another external force. It's you. And that's what she says. When you believe, though hope is frail. Sometimes we're not hopeful. Sometimes we don't want to be hopeful.
Sometimes people give yeah. up, but you can't.
You can't give up. Because when you kill hope, that's the last thing you can hope.
Because hope will always exactly. prevail.
A person who's hopeful, hope is, it will always be successful.
Hope and faith is what keeps this religion
and when
going.
We talk about success, we don't mean the success of celebrities. Like, that's what the problem is now. People are just seeing success as celebrity success. That's not what we mean by that. We mean something that you are proud of, something that you feel safe, something mm-hmm. that you feel... What's the word I'm looking for? You feel empowered by... Well,
everybody has their own interpretation of success.
Exactly.
It could be a family. It could be a job, a steady income. It could be anything. Fame. It could be, yeah, a healthy lifestyle.
Exactly. So when we're saying that, we're not meaning the celebrity success. That's what we're saying. Anyways, and then she goes to say, who knows what miracles you can achieve? Question mark. So she's asking, who knows what miracles you can achieve? No one. I guess no one really mm-hmm. can know what miracles you can do.
Because again, you're moving mountains when you don't even realize. And Moses is leading all the people, even though he has that imposter syndrome that he's not capable. Exactly. And, you know, things are happening. And that's when God intervenes and does, you know, the water and the cyclone of fire and the snake and whatever. And he doesn't know that he's capable of being a leader and performing these miracles. Everybody's laughing at him. For example, the scene where they're on the boat and they're like, prove to me, okay, make the Nile blood. And he's like, well, I think by that point, he firmly believes he can do it. But like at first he puts it in and they're laughing at him because it's not happening. And he's like, just wait a minute, because I'm about to fuck y'all up a bit. And
he did.
That's exactly. when it happens.
When you believe.
Because you don't know until you're there or after it happens.
Yeah. So who knows what miracles you can achieve? So she's kind of posing the question. When you believe, somehow you will when you believe.
Believe. Mm. Then Mariah comes in with her nice, sweet tone. And they're riffing off each other. I love that. Yeah. The inflections. And she says, in this time
of fear. Oh, come
on,
I thought you sang it. You got to sing it too, bitch.
Okay. In this time of fear, when prayer so often proves in vain, hope seems like the summer.
Good. Wait a minute. Okay. Relating it back to the movie.
Well, I was going to say, like, personal fear and as well as external conflicts, you know, Moses, he has that imposter syndrome, and it's also a time of fear because the Pharaoh is going after yeah. all the people, and he's kind of being flip-flop with letting them go or not. And then as well, you know, this God is like, okay, I'm gonna send all the crickets. I'm just saying, in this time of fear, it can apply to so many things. It's outwardly things, but also when you lose hope, you're uncertain of the unknown because you feel like you're failing, and that's where fear comes into play.
Exactly. So when the prayer so often proves in vain, when prayer so often proves in vain. So I guess prayer really doesn't do anything.
Well, the thing is prayer is not, the thing is, a lot of people, when they're scared and they're uncertain, that's when we turn to faith. But the problem is, we're not supposed to pray for things we want. We're not supposed to ask for things. You're supposed to pray whether you want things or not. You're supposed to talk to God.
Prayer in vain in the sense that, like, it's not going to do anything at this time. It's kind of just like talking.
I guess prayer seems selfish because you're fearful of the unknown and you don't know if it's not a guarantee that it's going to fix it. And it's also selfish in a way because you're asking for the solution to be fixed. But at the end of the day, we have the choice of free will to get ourselves out of these situations. Prayer is supposed to be paired with action.
Yeah, that makes sense. So hope seems like the summer bird.
That chirps. Like what is Mariah saying here? Wait a minute. It's just like a bird flying away. Like, you know, when a bird flies away, you're not going to catch it. Once it's up,
hope is slowly leaving from you, and you just see it go away because of that fear that freak. I can't get out of this one. How am I getting out of this? How am I going to push forward in life? How can I be me again when I'm afraid? I'm lost. I don't know who I am. What am I supposed to do? And this is relating to ourselves. Like, what are we supposed to do? So we kind of pray, but that prayer is not good because it's not purposeful. It's not actually doing anything. It's just in vain. Yes. And hope seems like a summer bird too swiftly that flown away.
And there were many times where in the movie Moses is kind of defeated, you know, because his brother and sister don't believe him. His other brother Ramses is, you know, angry with him. The people are supposed to be following him blindly, and they don't know that there's a guarantee that they're going to be saved, that they're going to be led to freedom. And then, you know, he loses his faith in God, and then God comes through.
So it's kind of like, okay, but she gets into it. Anyways.
Yet now I'm standing here, my heart so full, I can't explain.
Yeah, I think it's mostly when Moses is standing in front of the water or the fire. I'm here, bitch. I'm going back. I might not know if this is working or not, but I'm trusting you. And that's what I think religion is more about. It's just that kind of faith in the trust in yourself, but also in the unknown,
adversity,
and we're standing here. Now I'm standing here, my heart's so full I can't explain. What would the heart be full of? I guess, like,
because you're proud of yourself, you're happy. There are moments of happiness. You know, people would be so much more happy if they just, like I said before, if they just took the time to remind themselves of everything that they've accomplished, of getting to this point. Recently, I'm hearing a lot of people say, like, we need to keep acknowledging that we live through a pandemic. We need to keep acknowledging that we've made it this far, because we went through a lot of shit in the past 3 years. But we are always so focused on what's next. How can I level up? I don't have enough of this. I don't have this. I don't have this. And that's me too. Especially with social media. I'm like, I need more followers. We're not getting the likes. We're not getting the sales. Blah, 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 blah. We got to realize, well, I got to this point. You need to be proud of yourself, of everything that you built. So everybody, take a moment to reflect on your past year. Think about what you've accomplished. And it can be as little as going to the doctor. It can be as little as going for a bike ride, working out, I don't know, seeing a friend, going on vacation, whatever. It takes a lot to do all that, and you need to be proud of yourself for that. Just waking up and breathing every day, be proud of yourself for that. My heart, so the heart is so full, because I feel like this is like a present. We were talking about the past, now we're talking about the present. So they've come so far and achieved so much, so now their heart is so full, and they can't explain it because of happiness, possibly of achieving. And also, I feel like sometimes when it comes to religion, people can't really articulate how they feel, you know, when the spirit comes over them in those videos where they're like shaking and whatever, the devil's coming out, they're like on the floor like shaking, and they can't explain what happens to them. I've personally never experienced that, but you go through something, the spirit takes over you.
And also for me, like you said, them realizing that, like, they're at the end now, and like there won't be more there are always tribulations, but like the main one, when he was like on the other side of the river, river. And then, because she goes to say, seeking faith and speaking words I never thought I'd say. So that, like you said, that fulfillment of seeking faith.
It could also mean like Moses technically switching religions, because the ancient Egyptians believed in their own gods, versus now he is following one God.
True. So I guess knowing religious Christianity way, Christian way.
I guess after everything that happens, he never knew he could reach this point. He never knew he be seeking this type of faith. He never, like, if you had talked to him in the past, like, and they told him everything that happened, or if I told you what you've done in the past 2 years, you wouldn't believe yourself.
Are you right? That makes sense though. The new faith, coming of new faith, seeking faith and speaking words of that they never thought I'd say. So like, yeah, like speaking to God, like Moses never thought he was going to do that, because he didn't even think he was going to be a Pharaoh, because he wasn't going to be a Pharaoh. Mm-hmm. But now he's even more than a Pharaoh. He's the leading prophet.
He was the troublemaker.
So now he's like even more. That's why his heart's so full, because now he sees the responsibility. And you see, all this time you thought you were nothing, and now this is who you were. This is who you were destined to be. So do you think destiny plays a big part, or we make our own?
Destiny's child.
Oh, we make our own path. Do you think we're kind of pre-clandestine to be something?
I used to think that everything happened for a reason, but I think there is an element of it's the choice you make. I can be destined to be a teacher, but if I choose to be an engineer, maybe it'll take me a while to get back to the teacher. But, you know, I don't think destiny goes into play right away. Would be
your destination, your destiny. So I said, do you think it's destiny, or we're kind of like, we choose what we do?
I think it's destiny, but I think sometimes we choose around it without, because the thing is, you don't know your destiny.
That's the problem.
I don't think you choose your destiny, but what I'm saying is it can take a while to get there, because we choose what to do every day.
Okay, that's what you're saying. Like we can deviate, but something brings us back. Okay, anyways, carry on.
And then she goes into her head voice here. So what I like is that Whitney is very much like a clear vibrato chest voice, whereas like Mariah is very sweet, kind of raspy too, because we're in like butterfly era. So like, we're post-Daydream and she's been touring, so the voice is a little bit, has a nice little rasp to it. And she's like, I never thought I'd say what I'd say. And then we go up a register a bit. There can be miracles when you believe. Oh, hope is for real. Yeah.
So then
we go to the chorus again. And it's kind of just re-emphasizing, you know, believe in yourself. And then we go into the bridge. And it's kind of dramatic. And like in the performances, it's kind of like thunder. It's kind of like the storm, the rain before the storm and the rain before the rainbow.
And they're both singing this part. And I guess it adds more into the chaotic nature of it and more intense. And
what I find really interesting is it's in the two-part harmony, Mariah takes the lower part and Whitney takes the higher part. So I think that's funny. They kind of switch what they're known for. Because you'd think Mariah with the whistle notes would take the higher part. And Whitney with her tone would take the lower part.
So maybe she was like, no, let me show.
And they were like, let's switch it up. We're showing our range. And absolutely.
They don't always happen when you ask.
I can get on my knees and pray to be a millionaire. And it's not going to happen until tomorrow. It's not going to happen tomorrow. And it may not ever happen. You can't pray for something. And you can't hold for something and think it's going
to
land in your lap.
Someone said it yesterday. I think it was Carrie? Someone said, you can't pray to catch the bus and not run towards it. Because.
Exactly.
If it was your bus, you missed it. And you have to pray to catch the bus and run as fast as hell. And if you miss it, you missed the opportunity. That wasn't supposed to be your opportunity. But if you don't run and you pray, you're doing nothing. Faith without work. Dead.
It's so funny you said that, because I was just listening. I follow this person on TikTok who is like a coach to teach people how to like channel celebrity energy. And she says opportunities are like bus. If you miss it, you just wait for the next one.
Opportunity are like bus. You miss it and you wait for the next one. If it wasn't your opportunity, but if it was your opportunity and you missed it, you fucked.
No, but she is saying that there's not just one opportunity. If you miss an opportunity, there will be another one. But you got to run towards the opportunity. Like Carrie said,
You're going to get another opportunity. There will be another bus. But how much longer will you have to wait? 40, 50, 30 years? But you just missed the one I just gave you. So it's having that preparation, being ready with your skill and running as fast as you can to catch that bus. Mm-hmm. Because if you miss it, yes, there will be another one. But how much longer after? And then in that chance, there might be a chance you're not making it. You're giving up. You know, all of it. So it's that thing. Exactly. You got to pray. I don't think you gotta pray, but I think you have to just believe and go. Because if you stay, you can't just stay still. We gotta work on it.
That's right. And it's easy to give in to your fears.
But when you're blinded by your pain, can see the way, get through the rain. Small but still resilient boys. Small but still
resilient boys. Help is
there. You know what's funny? This whole time I thought it was. This whole time I thought it was. Hope is very near. Instead is help. Oh, yeah, I thought it was hope.
I remember what I said.
Anyways, it is easy to give into your fears.
When you're blinded by pain and you're not seeing results, you're not going to have hope. Hope is, I mean, hope is supposed to be constant, but really it's very up and down. It's very flip-flop. Every day, it's like, I don't have hope to wear this. Then the next year, like, maybe I can do this. And the next year, like, yeah, fuck this shit. It's never going to happen. And next year, like, actually, I am a bad bitch. I'm going to do this.
You can't kill me.
So, exactly. When you can't see the way, you get through the rain.
You get through it. You push through.
And a small but still resilient voice, which is God. And speaking of rain, well, Moses did not see the way through the ocean. But Jesus is like, okay, don't worry. I'm going to part the ocean. Because they needed to make a quick run for it.
Exactly.
To get to the other side.
Moses?
And yes. And says help is very near. Because help is on the way. And there is a beacon of light at the end of the tunnel. And then we go into the chorus again. Where they're both basically riffing and mothering. And, you know, getting a PhD in motherism from the University of Surrington.
And came to while reporting. I love it.
And they're going again. There can be miracles. 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 When you believe.
If you haven't listened to the song, you have to listen to it.
No,
like the vocals, the production of it, the arrangement of their voices, the riffing of each other, it is beautiful. When Dante said that song, I really was like, wow, this is a really good song. I could not believe the supremacy of this song. I mean, there was no words. I literally was like, yes, we need to learn this and we need to sing this. We did a horrible job, don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm. Well, but I am happy that it is a gift that I could share and that you have the same appreciation as me for it.
I think that a lot of people definitely...
And they go back and forth. When you believe somehow. And then we kind of go quiet again because, you know, they did their big notes and now we're going to quiet it down. And then we do a little...
I'm saying they beautifully harmonized that belief and it's every time it gets me.
Okay, let's take a break and we'll be back to discuss all things Prince of Egypt and 90s Divas.
Hey guys, we're stopping our very own podcast for our very own fake ad until we get sponsorships.
We love manifesting. Make sure to follow us on whatever social media you're on at Pen Pop Podcast to get notified for new episodes because why would you miss them?
Or just talk to us in general on our personal accounts at DanteDiDomenico_ and at Ari Dominguez Official.
And if you like what you're hearing so far, don't forget to leave us a rating or review from wherever you're listening to this podcast.
And now, back to Pen Pop.
P-E-N-P-O-P. Now that we've analyzed all the lyrics, we have to get into the rollout of the song, the music video, movie, and more.
First, let's talk about how this song came together. I think there's a really interesting story behind this. So the legend has it that the song came together when the DreamWorks co-owner, Jeffrey Katzenberg, and there's also drama there, right? Because the DreamWorks co-owner used to work at Disney and they left Disney to go start their own thing and then they were competing with each other. Hey, recruited Babyface and they basically tricked both Whitney and Mariah into joining them for dinner separately to do the duet after lying that one of the other diva had agreed. So basically, they took up Mariah to dinner and they're like, well, Whitney agreed to do this and you want it. And she's like, okay. And then they did the same thing to Whitney, like, well, Mariah's on the... And then they didn't know because their teams didn't talk and the media was always pushing this feud between them, which they never had. And yeah, this was in the mid-90s when they're rumored to be feuding and it was a false narrative pushed by the media. And so the movie actually brought together these two balladeers, two powerhouses together to become close friends up until Whitney's unfortunate passing in 2012.
The song featured a children's gospel choir, organ, strings, percussions, and is written in the key of B minor. However, both ladies sang down all throughout the vocal scale.
That's right, truly. And the song earned an Academy Award and Critics' Choice Award for Best Original Song, as well as a legendary video of the whole ordeal, which we saw before on Ari's screen in the back of the presenter and Whitney. Basically, if you've seen on YouTube, there's like a, when they're called to win, Whitney standing up, looking for someone to accept the award. She's like, Where the fuck do we go up or okay? We're not okay. We're sitting back down.
And the Oscar goes to Stephen Schwartz for When You Believe from The Prince of Egypt. Stephen Schwartz is very sorry that he cannot be here.
The single fared moderately well on charts, peaking in the top 30 within North America, including number 15 in the US, and top 10 in Europe, such as number 4 in Belgium, and number 3 in Norway, number 2 in Sweden and Switzerland. It was certified platinum by the RIAA. Let's talk about it. How can two of the top-selling divas of the time not go number 1? Do you think, wait a minute now, is it because it was religious? Was it Disney or DreamWorks the problem with the budget? Or was it not promoted well at all? What do you think?
See, this is what always gets me. It's like, yeah. How did these two huge artists not make a... Well, it was a smash. It's remembered, but it wasn't...
How did we not get number one?
What's going on here? I don't get it. When we got Telephone, it did number 3. It was number 1 in the UK, though. But even like when Jen and Michael did Scream, it was only number 5. I don't get it. If something happens when two big artists collaborate, it doesn't work out. I don't know why.
It's not as successful. Well,
not that it doesn't work out, but
you're right, though. Yeah, I'm get it. Just thinking about it.
Because usually they say like, oh, well, it's because they overpower each other. It's just because, or it's super hyped up and people are disappointed. Well, I disagree. I think it gave everything it needed to. And I think they both shine. So a part of me thinks it's because it was religious that, you know, it's not as contemporary. Like if you think of like what's popular right now in that time, it's like hip hop. It's like stuff like fantasy. Brandy's huge right now. The Boy Is Mine. Why does The Boy Is Mine work but not When You Believe?
I don't know. That's the question. Yeah. Please let us know in the comment section below.
Because I'm stumped. And then was it promoted well? I mean, I think it was promoted well. They went on Oprah. It was Whitney's lead single. It was the lead single from My Love Is Your Love. And yet we know Heartbreak Hotel and It's Not Right But It's Okay more than that song.
You're right. Maybe religious aspect of it. I don't know.
Anyways, let's talk about the music video. So it was directed by Phil Janu and features Mariah and Whitney singing to each other in a concert-like setting on a stage with flashing lights, like we said before, stage props and film clips projected behind them as they sing The House Down. So do we like it?
Well, first of all, I think it was a perfect setting because I think sometimes when you're a star, you kind of fear yourself. Sorry, you kind of lose hope as well. Am I going to be a big star? Am I going to sell the records? And, you know, I think it plays well into the fear that they have as artists. So to see them on the stage, it's that kind of like reminder, like where you come from, especially from Mariah and Whitney, like where you come from, where you're the doubt and the fear of what you would be and then becoming these big stars at the end. So it was fitting for them to be, for that to be the video and to relate it back to this, the message of the, was it too simple? No, it wasn't simple. I don't think it was simple.
Yeah.
It was with the live audience, no?
No, I liked it.
So like, that's not simple.
Yeah.
That's good. I guess what they're saying is the simplicity of the... production of it, right? Mm-hmm.
It's not like Honey or like I'm Your Baby Tonight. But again, I think scheduling conflicts is like it's hard to get them to do like a lot of different things if they're both on tight schedules.
I don't know.
Do you prefer the original version in the movie or
I like both. This version? Like either one is fine for me, but if I have to choose one, I would choose the live version. Whitney and Mariah.
Agreed. I like it better than the movie version. Once I heard that version, I didn't really go back to the movie version. I'm like, it's not.
And when I think of the movie, I just think of them singing it.
Well, I guess what I like about the movie version is you have like kind of the kids in the back singing.
Yeah, no, I don't really think. Yeah, you're right. I don't really like the other one. Well, I like it. I'll listen to it, but I think more
than it's good, but I still can't believe Sandra Bullock is in this movie.
When you told me that, I'm like, what the hell?
And Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yeah, Michelle Pfeiffer makes sense.
I really didn't recognize their voices until like he watched it and we searched up the cast later. I was like, let's see if I recognize anybody. Yeah. Let's get into the performances because this is where things get shady. So, I mean, how can you not have the two biggest people in the industry without a little shade? And they're not shading each other. So basically the first performance of this song together was on the Oprah Winfrey Show where the Suburban Moms were shook. Okay, because no one had ever seen them in the same room together. They had never performed it live before. So like that was really cool to see, and I wish we would have had access to the interview because it's one of my favorite interviews, and now I'm panicking a little bit because I'm like, who got a copy of this? I literally just edited a video with it in that, and that clip may be the last evidence of it we have, so now I have to keep in my camera roll. But anyways, then they performed it at the 71st Academy Awards, the Oscars. Now, apparently, allegedly, Whitney didn't show up for rehearsal for being sick, and the Academy tried to replace her with some random singer. her, and Mariah was not having it. She's like, it's either the both of us or none of us. And then when they tried rehearsing it again, they wanted them both ladies to do the original movie version. And so Mariah and Whitney had to fight to sing Babyface's version after, because when they're rehearsing it, they were having trouble with the timing of the original version because they're used to the R&B yeah. version, right? You know, and it's better. So why is the Academy, why? Just keep things probably the same. The producer, it's really not that hard.
The director probably said, we won that one. And finally, allegedly Schwartz refused to give Babyface writing credits in nomination form submitted to the Academy, but they didn't even come to the Oscars to collect the award, which that's where we see Whitney, like, what the fuck is going on? Where are
the
we
shadiness.
Going? But anyways, let's get into this performances and some interviews. So the performance in the Oprah 1998 full show.
I would say like that one's my favorite over the Academy one because it's more like intimate. You have yeah. the crowd and everything. And Oprah trying to act like she knows the words even though she doesn't.
Homegirl never knew the words. It's very me behavior.
We all know that we belong together. We're just like. I love that show because it was like the Christmas episode and it was like, it's very like warm and also like the filter saturated. It's a little bit orange. I wish it was still on YouTube so you guys could watch it. Love to like watch that at the time with a good like break, a good baked brie and an old sweater. Come on now. Watch the whole special with family and friends, you know, and they have like such great chemistry and it makes me sad because I wish they were, you know, Whitney was here today. I know her and Mariah will have like a little cute exchange on Twitter from time to time. They also talk about the meaning of diva. They address the feud. They talk about how, you know, they talk like old girlfriends. They talk about really interesting things like how their voice changes during their time in the month. It gets lower or how when they're pregnant, it gets different. They have two of the biggest selling female artists yeah. in the room and also the ones with the most number one songs. And, you know, the mother, they were having a mother off, as people would say.
No, I think they really got us as good friends. Like, you can see it. Like, their mm-hmm. chemistry was really good.
But the Oscar one, it feels rushed.
It's very much rushed.
Well, first of all, the orchestra is like 5 seconds behind. It's not, I just know they were pissed because all the stuff that went down behind mm-hmm. the scenes.
And guess what? Bitches made it work, made it look elegant, make it look what it is.
Oh, absolutely. So, they were pros.
And you can't compete when you don't compare. You don't compare yourself to me, Nicole. You are not on my level.
You are not on my level, Nicole. Longer. You never will be on my level. Do not compare yourself to me.
You know what a friend of ours said? Shout out to Kiara. She literally, she says like,
what's she saying?
Y'all really have a song for everything.
Or saying or we something.
Do. Or saying.
We speak we do. A different we, language.
Yeah. We, every word we say has a reference to.
A pop culture moment.
biblical reference to the pop culture. And that's who we are. So anyways, yeah. Let's wrap this bitch up, okay?
Mm-hmm. It's hot. Okay, what are your final thoughts?
These blinds gonna help me.
Final thoughts on When You Believe.
When You Believe is the song that made me, honestly, like in all seriousness, when I feel down sometimes, like I listen to When You Believe to really mm-hmm. pick myself mm-hmm. up from the shadows of love, the message that they're saying, the and just also it's a beautiful song to listen to mm-hmm. like the riffs and all that stuff, like it makes you feel something in your soul.
Agree.
And sometimes you don't gotta listen to, you don't gotta read the Bible, sometimes you gotta feel something, and that's the song you turn into mm-hmm. when you want to feel something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
When Mariah said my heart's so full I can't explain, that's how I feel about the song. Like that's I can't explain it, and that's honestly sometimes how I feel about music. Like it was just very fulfilling to me. I can't articulate it. Yeah, it's my life. What can I say? It just, yeah, When You Believe, it makes me feel warm inside. It makes me miss when A-list artists used to collaborate more. I feel like we're not getting the collaborations we need right now. I need people at the top of their game giving us more music regularly as well. I mean, now we're lucky if two big artists release in the same year. I mean, the girls are getting lazy. What can I say? Seems like nobody yeah. wants to work these days. And none of them want to do a duet either. So can we get on that? Can we change that? Egos, schedules, but really not even schedules because everything's online now, so I don't understand.
Well, thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, believers and non-believers, for believing in today's When You Believe by Mariah Carey and Whitney Houston. You see how I did there?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And we leave with this beautiful performance of the mothers of the house of Moses representing
House of DreamWorks. How from the House of DreamWorks.
Exactly. When sometimes you got to believe in yourself, believe in your hopes, believe, believe, believe. Because when you believe, miracles will happen.
That's right.
Thank you so much, everyone, for watching. We hope you enjoyed this video. And until next time.
Thanks for listening. Leave a rating, review, and follow us on social media at Pampa Podcast and our own respective pages. And have a nice day. Goodbye.
Bye.
Gotta believe. Gotta believe.